what you're listening to.
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Time to talk local sports, local soccer here on Drive Time Sports. Today we are going to focus on the USU Eastern soccer team, both the men and the women. We had all those conversations about the spring sports. Would we get a conclusion to the season? Would we get a championship? Would student athletes get an extra year of eligibility? Now that all that's worked out, there's uncertainty around the fall season. Things right now are going as planned, but it could definitely change. And how did that affect the offseason for these fall sports? Joining us right now to talk about that and more, we have the head coach of the men and women's soccer program at USU Eastern, Coach Jared Woodhouse. And Coach, it's always great to get you on the show. I appreciate the time today.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely, Coach. For those who are unaware, it was announced a little ways back, Coach, that now you are the head coach of both the men and the women's program. And so double the craziness, double the excitement for you, I guess, over the last couple of months.
Oh, absolutely. Fortunately, it wasn't too crazy. Ammon, before he decided to accept a job elsewhere, he had already recruited quite a few for the girls' team to come. There was very little as far as recruiting for me to do from that point forward. So it hasn't been as crazy as it could have been. But it still has been pretty nuts.
Without having to recruit on the girls' side, Coach, how did the guys' side look for you? And were there any hurdles that you had to climb over the last couple of months in that regard?
Actually, I feel super confident. Last year, I really didn't get my first basically letter of intent turned in until almost the end of March. And this year, I had my whole recruiting class done by February 27th. So I actually feel supremely confident. Last year, there were a lot of kids that we missed out on the men's side, at least, to Salt Lake and to Snow. This year, we did it so early. We got it done so early that I believe we actually pickpocketed quite a few from Salt Lake and Snow this time. So we might have got the better, at least from a lot of the in-state talent. We did get quite a bit this year. So I'm actually really thrilled with our recruiting process this year.
I know that's always the first challenge, right? Going toe-to-toe with Salt Lake and Snow. And, I mean, going back to when the program first started, that was one of the advantages that we had at USU Eastern. There were no other soccer programs that could pickpocket the talent here. But, Coach, with that being said, have you found your niche as far as recruiting in certain areas of the state where USU Eastern has garnered the respect of the recruits, maybe based on previous kids coming here and having success or word of mouth? I mean, have you found that niche in any particular area here in the state?
Certainly. Yeah, there's certain kids that reach out to us just because they played with, you know, so-and-so at this high school or in this club. And when they talk to them, the kids say they really enjoyed it here. They feel like that kid would have success here. And so they're reaching out to us. Having said that, I just feel like I learned a lot last year. We were so late. And the kids that I really, really wanted were already basically in Salt Lake's pocket, whether they had signed a letter of intent or not. They were already planning on going to Salt Lake or to Snow. And so it was just really difficult to get any of the kids just because of how late. This year, I was not going to let that happen. And now, you know, with the coronavirus, I'm actually really overly pleased that I was able to get it done that early because, a couple of weeks after our last letter of intent was signed, COVID hit, and I know that there's a couple of schools in our conference that are desperately seeking recruits right now that they may or may not be able to get because of COVID, because of the coronavirus. They weren't able to go out and watch games in the spring, and so they're kind of struggling right now where we're done, and so I'm feeling very confident. You never really know until the players get here and start playing together on how well they'll mesh, how much chemistry they'll have, and how much they're going to be able to adapt from the high school and club game to the college level. But where we're sitting on paper, at least, I'm supremely confident we're going to be very competitive.
With that being said, Coach, between now and August, and I know that's when things really pick up, are there any restrictions or is there anything that you can't do right now that you wish you could, or is it pretty much just kind of normal for this time of the year?
This is the time of the year where there's kind of a little bit of a dead period. We're not allowed to meet with them. We're not allowed to really do anything with the team. We do send them summer workouts. Jeff Brinkerhoff puts together some stretching routines for them to prepare their muscles for the fall, because we really put them through the rigmarole in the fall. And so he puts together some stuff for them to do at this time. We have specific soccer workouts that we give them to do so that they can keep their skills up. But, yeah, this is kind of a dead period. There's really not a lot for me to do other than to prepare, training sessions for the fall, get our hotels and stuff ready for the fall, our trips ready for the fall, so that we have the buses, they're scheduled and the hotel scheduled and all that stuff. So right now, for me, it's kind of a down period, other than there's just a lot of paperwork.
I'm sure that paperwork is probably sometimes even a little overwhelming. Again, this is your first year as both the men and the women's head coach. And so while the offseason may be at a little dead time, I'm sure there's always something keeping you busy.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Jared Woodhouse of the USU Eastern Soccer Squads. Coach, about 2 weeks ago, we had an opportunity to talk to a couple of local athletes from Carbon and Emory, some kids that would continue their playing careers on. One of those kids that we talked to in particular was Grace Broadbear, who I know you're going to have with the girls' soccer program. And so, again, some local flavor on this year's soccer team, which is always a good thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We want to get the community involved as much as we can, and the local soccer talent pool has been steadily increasing for the last probably 6 or 7 years, and mostly over the last 2 or 3 years. They've done a good job. The local club here, the Price Youth Soccer Association, I believe they're called Voltage now, they've done a really good job of training their coaches how to coach soccer, and their kids are really starting to develop. When we first got here, it was hard. It really was to go and watch the local games at Emory High and at Carbon High and really seriously consider some of those players. Now, I know that that's not the case with other sports in this area. They've been able to send lots of players to the school and have success. But really, soccer was lagging behind in that area, so I've got to give a shout out to the coaching that's going on in this area now, because honestly, we are seeing some talent develop that really will help us out in the future. And Grace is definitely one of those kids. She's super fast. She can run for days. She's got all the skills. She hasn't maybe played at the level, because again, the club is progressing, but it's not at the level of the clubs that are found in Salt Lake County. But she has all the skills. She has all of the ability. It's just a matter of her, how quickly she'll be able to get up to the speed of those that have maybe been playing at a higher level from Salt Lake. But I have no doubt that she'll be able to do it. I believe she's going to be a great, great attribute to the team. And that's just, that has really nothing to do with the college itself. It has to do with the commitment of the families and the coaches that are helping with the club team here in Price.
I'm glad you bring that up, because my next question was going to be, how much of an influence has the college had on the soccer here locally? Because, it is the fastest growing sport in the country. There's no question about it. But, Coach, you've been here for pretty much the entire length of this program now as far as USU Eastern Soccer is concerned. So you've seen the growth locally. That excitement had to at least have started with USU Eastern adding soccer, right?
Whether or not it started with us adding soccer, or whether or not it set up, I honestly couldn't say. But regardless of how much, we do have opportunities, obviously, with the local kids to, their coaches every once in a while will have us come and train, or have us come and kind of kick around, and they invite our players out all the time in the off season to go kick around with their kids. And so obviously, when you have that level of talent, playing with your local kids, they're going to be able to progress and get better and make strides. And so I'm sure that we have had maybe some marginal impact on the speed with which they're progressing here in Price. But honestly, I got to attribute that mostly to just the club that they put together and how hard they're pushing to help these kids improve. And that really doesn't, I mean, our impact on that coaching is very, very, very minimal, if any. And so we've got to give that gift to the coaches that are around here, the Carbon head coach, the Emory head coach, their club coaches, Tracy Brady and her husband, and basically everybody that's just pushing soccer in this area. The tribute really should go to them.
Again, Coach Jared Woodhouse, our guest right now. Coach, two more questions for you. One, what have coaches' meetings looked like at USU Eastern over the last month or so?
Obviously, we have one every week with the entirety of the athletic department. As far as soccer meetings, we're basically just having to do them, not even teleconferencing. Right now, we're just making phone calls. I'll call one of them, and we'll talk for a half hour about something that we need to get done or something that we need a plan on or ways to create more chemistry in the team from last year to this year. Some outside of soccer things that we can do to help that chemistry build and grow. And so most of it right now is just through phone calls or emails. But mostly I prefer phone calls, and so we do it that way a lot. We haven't met. It's funny you bring that up. Today we were just on the phone with everyone saying that we need to meet, and we're going to have a big coaches meeting a couple of weeks from now where all of us will be there and sit down and discuss tactics and the difference between the tactics that the men will use and the tactics the women will use. But honestly, most of it's just been very minor, and it's been over the phone.
We can end with this, Coach. Once you guys get back, and again, August, I know, is a very big month for the soccer program. As we sit right now, what is the plan for August?
So, we provided, right now we're kind of in limbo. We're trying to see if the NJCA, they have a meeting later this month, and they're going to kind of dictate where we go from here because of the coronavirus. And so because of that, we're kind of waiting on pins and needles to see. If everything goes according to plan, then our kids will arrive on campus on the 4th. We will actually have our first team meeting the 5th, and then for the next 9 days, as it were, we'll be vigorously preparing for our first scrimmage against a school up in Wyoming. It won't be a countable scrimmage. It'll just be kind of like a what us in the soccer world call a friendly that doesn't really count on your schedule, but lets you know where you stand as a team initially. And that's the 14th and 15th. We actually have two that weekend. And then the following week, then we start into some serious games. We play Yavapai, which is always ranked in the top 10. We play Trinidad State, which is usually close to the top 20 every year. And so it gets very, very serious very, very quickly.
Undoubtedly looking forward to it. I know a lot of people in the community are. Anything that we can get as far as local athletics back and rolling, I know it's an exciting time. Coach Jared Woodhouse, again, head coach of the USU Eastern men and women squads. Coach, it's always a pleasure to get you on. Always fun. I appreciate the time.
Oh, I appreciate it, too. I enjoy it. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time sports coming up. When we return, we'll move over and talk NBA basketball. Yes, we are inching closer to the return of the season, but there's also a couple of news and notes floating around regarding players. Bradley Beal, John Wall, Jason Tatum. Rudy Gobert is another one. A lot of fun stories. Things that don't necessarily revolve around the COVID pandemic, but they may be affected by it. We'll talk about that when we return right here on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports.